U.S. Senators from Wisconsin Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson held separate virtual town halls yesterday, but shared different opinions of Elon Musk. It's Friday, February 28th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Green Bay Area School District has removed DEI language from several job descriptions, and a circuit court judge is ordering the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to launch a program for incarcerated moms and their infants. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're gonna have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin called cuts and mass firings led by Elon Musk frightening during a virtual town hall yesterday. Rich Kramer reports that hours later, Republican Senator Ron Johnson called Musk one of the most brilliant people to walk the earth.
Baldwin fielded submitted questions about President Donald Trump's executive orders and Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. The first question asked what Congress can do about mass firings initiated by Musk's group. Baldwin said DOGE is not a department, but an unsanctioned non-governmental entity.
And we are seeing all sorts of actions being taken by DOGE that aren't coming from government, but are actually taking effect nonetheless, which is very, very frightening.
Baldwin said constituents need to work in the courts and with Congress to fight back. During his own virtual town hall hours later, Republican Senator Ron Johnson hailed DOGE and called Musk, quote, one of the most brilliant, accomplished, effective human beings that ever walked on planet Earth. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Republican congressman from northeastern Wisconsin hopes to repeal the federal program which gives states funding to develop networks of electric vehicle charging stations. U.S. Representative Tony Weed introduced a bill that would make changes to the 2021 infrastructure law, which provided funding for the program. He criticized it for only building 59 charging stations in 3 years. Jeremiah Brockman is the president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Electric Vehicle Association.
I get that they're saying, well, we've only had this number of sites, but that's because it's a national plan. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes a lot of coordination.
The Biden administration awarded Wisconsin $78 million to expand EV charging. The state could lose out on $55 million that it has not yet received. The plan for that money is now in limbo after the Trump administration suspended the program providing its funding. The Green Bay Area School District has removed diversity, equity, and inclusion language from several job descriptions. Corrine Hess reports that this comes as the Trump administration is threatening to take away federal funding from schools if those changes aren't made.
The U.S. Department of Education sent a Dear Colleague letter on February 14th giving educational institutions 14 days to eliminate diversity initiatives or risk losing federal funding. In Green Bay, that would mean a loss of about $40 million. The school board there decided to remove words like inclusion, affinity, and cultural competency from a handful of job descriptions. School board member Lynn Gerlich said doing so went against her values.
I deplore it. I hate this, but I trust that our staff has done the best they can.
The State Department of Public Instruction issued guidance to school districts encouraging them to take a measured and thoughtful approach to the Trump administration's DEI demands. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County court is ordering Wisconsin's Department of Corrections to begin offering a program for incarcerated mothers and their infants. A decades-old state law sets criteria for a mother and baby program within the prison system that includes making accommodations so that moms can be physically present with their babies who are less than 1 year old. Ryan Cox is with the ACLU of Wisconsin, which sued on behalf of two incarcerated moms who were separated from their babies.
It's a devastating process to give birth within the Department of Corrections custody and be separated from your newborn baby within 24 hours.
Prison officials argued that they had complied with the law. That's because Corrections Department offers resources to moms who are out on probation or extended supervision. But this week, a judge concluded that that's not enough. He says the state must act without delay to implement a program for currently incarcerated mothers. Coming up, a lot has changed in the political world since Donald Trump got back into the White House. We're going to hear from the WPR politics team about how Wisconsin Republicans are supporting Trump. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is connecting with nature.
I have decided what I want to be when I retire. An old guy on a bike who rides around looking at things.
Okay, so we got two birds that just chimed in here. Biz, buzz, buzz, buzz. That's our golden winged warbler.
Like sitting here right now, I mean, this is just absolutely beautiful to me. It's just like, ah.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
And finally, the aggressive, sometimes unprecedented moves by President Donald Trump's administration have upended national politics. And more than a month into Trump's second term, Wisconsin Republicans are standing behind him. Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk have been covering the state's lawmakers. They spoke with WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson.
Let's start with Wisconsin's congressional delegation. We have 8 U.S. House members, 6 Republicans, 2 Democrats. So far, they've been doing a lot of reacting to steps that President Trump's administration has taken unilaterally. When you reach out to their offices and say, what does a representative think about this? What have they said?
Well, by and large, so far, every Republican has either said nothing when we reach out or they've said they support the president. With Democrats, you've heard some pretty sharp criticism when Trump's budget office said it was doing a widespread freeze on federal funding, and Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, started digging into agency budgets. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee called it an insurrection. But when Republicans have spoken, they've been complimentary of the president. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany of Minocqua said even though Congress authorized federal spending, it's up to Trump to make sure it's being used in a way that represents the will of the American people who voted for him.
Yeah, and then this week, the House had its first really big vote since Trump took office. It was a budget resolution, and it calls for major cuts in spending and then trillions of dollars in tax cuts. Democrats say that's going to result in cuts to food assistance and Medicaid. And Mark Pocan, who represents the Madison area, said he would travel to any district in the state to debate Wisconsin Republicans about those projected cuts. But all of Wisconsin's GOP congressmen voted for that deal. And Derek Van Orden, who represents a western Wisconsin district, said the budget bill doesn't include cuts. It's just setting a framework. And he accused his Democratic colleagues of fear-mongering.
One sign that people might be paying more attention to Congress right now is that there have been some angry town hall meetings across the country. Our colleague Nick Rommel covered a town hall for Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman in Oshkosh. Here's what it sounded like outside as Representative Grothman walked in. Representative Scott Fitzgerald also faced angry questions at his town hall. Now, they both represent Republican districts. There is one district that's competitive every year in Wisconsin. Anya, you referenced Derek Van Orden's 3rd district in western Wisconsin. Rich, there's a world where you could imagine Representative Van Orden kind of playing it safe here. But he took a step recently that really leaned into his support for Trump. Tell us about that.
Right. Derek Van Orden is in a swing district, and Democrats have been gunning for his seat for years. And he's definitely a target again this year. But he isn't moderating. He introduced a resolution to impeach a federal judge in New York who blocked DOGE from accessing sensitive U.S. Treasury records.
Okay, Anya, how about at the state level? There was a time in the not-too-distant past when the Wisconsin legislature's most powerful Republican was on bad terms with President Trump. Tell us about the journey of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Yeah, like so many things, it dates back to the 2020 election. Voss ordered an investigation into that outcome where Biden won the state of Wisconsin. Trump narrowly lost it. The investigation turned up no evidence of widespread wrongdoing, and Voss eventually concluded that he couldn't overturn the outcome in Wisconsin. But that really upset Trump, who then backed a primary challenger to Voss's assembly seat, and that challenger came incredibly close to winning. It was pretty shocking at the time. But then this week, Voss said he is, and I quote, tight with the White House now. He said it's good for Wisconsin if our GOP has a good relationship with the Trump administration, although he also said he didn't actually meet with Trump the last time he was in Washington.
And it's not nearly as big of a change as the Trump presidency, but state government is also different this year. Under the new legislative maps, Democrats picked up 10 seats in the Assembly, 4 in the Senate. Margins are closer. There was talk during the campaign of both sides working together more. What have we seen?
It hasn't happened yet. The state assembly had a floor session last week, and Republicans passed a series of education-related bills. Pretty much party-line votes all around. That's not surprising on some bills, but there are others that aren't inherently partisan. Take a proposed classroom cell phone ban, which we've seen happen in some Democratic-led states, but not a single Democrat supported it in the Wisconsin Assembly.
And then the flip side of that is that Republicans have fewer lawmakers, but they still haven't really shown any more willingness to support Democrats, and especially on Governor Tony Evers' budget. They're saying they won't support any of his new proposals. So the tone isn't nearly as aggressive as it is at the national level, but partisanship is still alive and well in Wisconsin in 2025.
Thanks to WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer for that. They were speaking with WPR's Sean Johnson. And finally, a quick check of weather before letting you go. It's going to be a really interesting day across Wisconsin. High temperatures in the 40s and 50s for the final day of February, but wind gusts near 45 miles per hour at times and a high wind advisory in effect for the southern two-thirds of the state. Then tonight, those temperatures drop all the way down into the single digits in the north and teens in the south. Highs in the 20s across the state Saturday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were John Davis and Mallory Chang. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.